Welcome to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Our top story, tensions soaring after Iran's unprecedented attacks on Israel. Could Chinese-made components have lent Iran a hand?
But let's step back even further and look at our own country. How many law enforcement organizations throughout this country are using DJI drone technology or other Chinese manufacturers to do their job?
Beijing hinting for the first time that a man it executed for spying sold secrets to Washington. The Biden administration is betting big on microchip making in the U.S. A closer look at an over $6 billion investment into a major semiconductor maker. And fashion lovers could be in for an unwelcome tag-along, respiratory viruses carried by fur clothing. Reports found at least 5 fur farms in China pose threats to human health. Unprecedented attacks in the Middle East. Have Chinese-made components played a part? Experts say the answer lies in the downed Iranian drones. Iran fired about 360 suicide drones and missiles toward Israel Sunday, its first direct assault on Israel from its own soil. The attack was launched in retaliation for an Israeli airstrike that killed 2 top Iranian generals.
Together, we intercepted 99% of the threats towards Israel. Together, we thwarted Iran's attack.
No casualties have been reported and very little damage was caused. Now, concerns are growing about whether the conflict could become an all-out regional war. Western countries are calling on Israel to de-escalate. China also expressed concerns Monday, calling for a ceasefire, though it stopped short of condemning Iran. Israel said it's disappointed with China's response and had hoped for a stronger condemnation. Although the specific models of the downed Iranian drones are still unclear, a few Taiwanese experts say they could involve parts made in China. Israel's military said the 170 drones from Iran likely belong to its Shahid family. Last June, Western researchers found Chinese parts in an Iranian Shahid drone shot down by Ukraine. The discovery revealed that Chinese parts kept flowing to Iran, which provided support for its drone program. A Taiwanese drone expert said many Iranian drones shot down in Ukraine and the Gaza Strip were found to have Chinese-made parts. And Israel would be able to trace the parts' origin once they dissect the recovered drones. That's because supply chains don't usually see major changes within just a few months. Beijing has long been a strong backer for Iran, holding the title of the country's biggest trading partner for the past decade. China also buys over 90% of Iran's oil exports. The money is a lifeline for Tehran amid Western sanctions. Following the Israeli strike that killed 2 top generals, U.S. top diplomat Anthony Blinken called on his Chinese and Saudi Arabian counterparts to urge Iran not to escalate. For a deeper discussion about Iran's strike on Israel and how it could be shaping China's military preparedness for a possible move against Taiwan, we sat down with Tommy Waller. He's the president and CEO of the Center for Security Policy. Tommy Waller, thank you so much for joining us. Great to have you back on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Tiffany.
Given this Iran attack over the weekend where 99% of the missiles and drones were intercepted, how do you see China viewing this, especially in terms of a potential invasion of Taiwan?
So I think when you look at the two scenarios, right? So you have Iran launching hundreds of munitions, and then you have the prospect of China doing the same in a conflict over Taiwan. So there are some significant differences, which is that in the Middle East, there are allies of Israel that are in close proximity, which assisted with that. You had, of course, a lot of the munitions, the Iranian munitions that failed. China is going to be much more proficient in terms of its ballistic missile technology. But there's also just the basic physics and the time space, right? It's about a 10 times difference in terms of the, you know, the gap between mainland China and Taiwan and the landmass of Iran and Israel. You're looking at about 100 versus 1,000 miles. And so that's flight times, right? And that allows ballistic missile defense systems and air forces and allies the opportunity to work. You don't have that when it comes to the scenario between China and Taiwan. And lastly, I'll just say, Tiffany, one thing Iran doesn't have, as far as we know, but we know that China does, is hypersonic technology, right? So when you look at that time space, they can make it even much faster. These are all considerations that both China and Taiwan need to be looking at, and of course, all of Taiwan's allies.
And following Iran's attack, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has asked China to use its influence to dissuade Iran from striking Israel. China on Monday said, quote, it calls on relevant parties to stay calm and exercise restraint. China's foreign ministry published a statement calling for a U.N. ceasefire resolution. What role do you see or do you perceive China playing when it comes to this region?
You know, Tiffany, for Blinken to invite China to be part of this process is just part of the Biden administration playbook. And why don't we just rewind the clock for a second and think about how China's done when it comes to international crises? What did China do with the WHO when it came to the pandemic, right? Lied and made sure that the WHO ensured that that virus spread throughout the entire world. Should we trust China for a fraction of a second to do anything that's gonna be good for U.S. or allied interests when it comes to diplomacy? Absolutely not.
Now, multiple reports are noting that Chinese companies have been linked as suppliers for Iran's drones and drone systems. Now, how might that play into a potential Iran response to Israel if we do see this escalate?
Well, let's look at Blinken inviting China to be part of this whole process of, again, appeasement. And so that means China's not held accountable for what you just mentioned, Tiffany, the fact that they're the ones creating much of the technology that Iran's using to attack Israel. But let's step back even further and look at our own country. How many law enforcement organizations throughout this country are using DJI drone technology or other Chinese manufacturers to do their job? How many critical infrastructure owners are using that technology? So we might think for a second, well, the war is over there in the Middle East, right? And that these Chinese tech are being used by Iran. No, they're being used by our own country's law enforcement, critical infrastructure. And Tiffany, this is something that we're working right now at the state level in houses of representatives and senates across the country to help wake up lawmakers at the state level. Because at the federal level, really, unfortunately, this administration has just been completely just ignored that threat. And so where we can, we're trying to wake people up, even at the state and local level, to the same kind of threat that Israel might expect from China and Iran, we can expect here on the home turf from those same adversaries.
Tommy Waller, thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tiffany, for having me on.
Killed for selling state secrets to America. That's what a Chinese state media campaign seems to suggest. The video clip boasts China's success in combating foreign espionage. It zooms in on a spy called Huang Yi. He was executed in 2016 for selling state secrets. The clip made no mention of what foreign country he was spying for, but it showed footage of the CIA headquarters in the clip. China said he handed over secrets, including military communications, to a foreign government. Media reports that he was executed a month after his conviction. Zooming out, the CIA director last year said the agency has been working to rebuild its spy network in China. Beijing pledged countermeasures in response. Over a decade ago, China hunted down a wave of CIA operations, killing or arresting a dozen or more sources. Last year, China also updated its anti-espionage law, banning the transfer of any information deemed related to national security. The move unnerved some foreign businesses and investors. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz told Iran to stop attacking Israel over the weekend. This came as he began his China trip, starting with a visit to Chongqing. It's a metropolis serving as a production base for China's auto industry. His trip comes as Europe's biggest economy continues to rely on China. Berlin said last year that it would de-risk, but China remains Germany's largest trading partner. German direct investment into China hit a record high, $12.9 billion, an over 4% increase from the previous year. The country also remains a key market for major German companies. Germany's top corporate brass joined Scholz on the trip, including the CEOs of technology giant Siemens, luxury car maker Mercedes-Benz, and chemical company Merck KGaA. Scholz is set to visit Chinese leader Xi Jinping in Beijing on Tuesday. Advocacy groups are urging him to stress the importance of human rights during his visit. Samsung dethroning Apple as top smartphone maker. That's after the Silicon Valley giant smartphone shipments dropping in the first quarter of 2024, as well as being hurt by intensifying competition, mainly from Android phone makers aiming for the top spot. NTD's Sean Marshall has more.
Samsung has claimed the title for world's number one cell phone maker for the first quarter of this year, surpassing Apple for the lead spot. According to figures out over the weekend from IDC, it estimates Apple phone shipments dropped about 10% over the first quarter of this year. That saw its market share slip to 17.3%. Burton Kelso, someone familiar with the cell phones industry, said despite Apple having better support from the App Store and from the Genius Bar, online tech support and better security,
but people just aren't interested in those things. They want flashy, they want better cameras, they want a easier to phone. And also, Samsung has a better price point than Apple devices. Apple devices seem to become so obsolete quickly, and I think people are tired of paying $1,500 or more for an iPhone that's going to be obsolete in a year, where you can almost get the same product with a Samsung and pay a little bit lesser price for a better quality product.
The iPhone maker appears to be suffering as rivals step up competition. South Korea's Samsung launched new flagship models over the period, driving a strong rise in sales. Just 3 weeks ago, Samsung said they expect even better earnings than analysts predicted. They said first quarter operating profit will jump over tenfold to almost $4.9 billion.
So one of the other things with Samsung devices is that they were early adapters of the USB-C. And with that, that means if you get a Samsung phone, you can charge it with just about anything. With Apple now being a late adopter of USB-C has kind of turned people away from using iPhone.
China also looks like a problem for Apple, with industry experts estimating its sales there were down by almost a quarter in the first 6 weeks of the year. Some companies and government agencies are restricting use of its phones in the country, citing national security concerns. Those moves mirror U.S. government restrictions on Chinese apps on security grounds. Sean Marshall, NTD News.
The Biden administration will provide up to $6.4 billion in direct funding for Samsung Electronics. The money is to develop a cluster of computer chip manufacturing and research facilities in Texas. The funding is part of a total investment that is expected to exceed $40 billion when private money is factored in. The government support comes from the CHIPS and Science Act, which aims to revive domestic production of advanced computer chips. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo says the proposed project will make Texas a state-of-the-art semiconductor destination. Raimondo said she expects the project will create at least 17,000 construction jobs and more than 4,500 manufacturing jobs. The first factory is expected to be operational in 2026 and the second in 2027. According to the Wall Street Journal, top telecom giants in China earlier this year got a memo from Chinese officials: phase out foreign chips by 2027, especially chips that are key to the country's networks. NTD's Don Ma has more.
The Wall Street Journal report says that China's Ministry of Industry and Information Technology ordered state-owned mobile operators to inspect their networks for non-Chinese semiconductors and map out timelines to replace them. This actually is the very first time such specific deadlines were imposed, and the move would impact U.S. chip giants Intel and Advanced Micro Devices, or AMD. China was, in fact, Intel's largest market last year and was responsible for more than 27% of Intel's total revenue.
Behind glamorous fur clothing, an animal protection group found that a developing virus carried by the luxury products could infect humans. China produces more fur pelts than any other country, but experts warn that fur farms could lead to respiratory viruses in humans because the animals raised there are susceptible to them. According to Humane Society International, five fur farms in northern China have been discovered to pose high risks of disease to humans. Various viruses are rapidly developing among the animal species. They house including foxes, minks, and raccoon dogs. Last year's data shows that anywhere from 2,000 to 4,000 animals are held in these farms at a time. And experts explain the high populations drive poor living conditions. Limited space, poor hygiene, and even mental illnesses in the animals all contribute. The close proximity allows virus strains to mix and circulate quickly and could help them develop into something more adaptive for jumping to other hosts, like humans. The problem isn't a new one. Data from Chinese scientists has suggested that raccoon dogs may have been involved in coronavirus mutations that would go on to infect humans. China's Ministry of Agriculture and Rural Affairs has not responded to media inquiries about the safety concerns. Coming up, San Francisco looking to deepen ties with communist China as the city's still sluggish economy grapples post-pandemic. More on the mayor's trip to China. As a wave of coordinated attacks hits the U.S., the nation is contending with unprecedented national security threats. Our guest presents a shocking take. America is already at war, but guns and missiles are not this battle's weapons of choice.
We need to warn the American people and train the American people of really what's coming after them in this overall strategy of unrestricted warfare.
It is getting increasingly difficult for Chinese people to travel to the U.S. And for Chinese Communist Party members, it's mission impossible. A China expert sheds light on why. More on that after the break here on China in Focus. Welcome back to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer, a Chinese university in downtown San Francisco. That's one of the goals getting pushed by San Francisco Mayor London Breed, who's in China for a week-long visit. She says she wants to help San Francisco's economy and tourism recover from the pandemic. Breed is also advocating for more direct flights from China and to have pandas sent to the San Francisco Zoo. The trip aims to boost tourism from the communist nation, which dropped during the pandemic. Breed hopes it will also improve her relationship with Chinese American voters, who have expressed dissatisfaction with her performance. She plans to meet with Chinese businesses and Fudan University to discuss a campus in San Francisco. The trip, funded by private donations, includes around 30 San Francisco leaders. As the House approves reauthorization of FISA surveillance powers, we take a moment to analyze the national security threats facing America and how FISA plays into them. We spoke with Casey Fleming, CEO of Black Ops Partners, for more. Casey Fleming, thank you so much for joining us. Great to have you back on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, FBI Director Christopher Wray is warning of a coordinated attack on the U.S. similar to the recent ISIS-K one we saw in Moscow. Now, he said that throughout his law enforcement career, it's hard for him to think of a time when, quote, so many threats to our public safety and national security were so elevated all at once. Why do you think that is? Why are there so many threats right now?
There are so many threats now because the rest of the world, the rest of the Axis, feels that we are very, very weak from a government and a military perspective. They also are working on knowing that we're at each other's throats, the division inside the country, which also spawned by our adversaries. So that's why they perceive us as being very, very weak, and that's why you've seen this incredible increase to threats and risk at this time.
Now, Ray also warned about China, saying that the Chinese Communist Party is the defining threat of our generation. He also said in his prepared remarks to Congress that Chinese hackers outnumber FBI agents 50-1. Now, is the U.S. underprepared for a threat like this? Why?
We are underprepared for a cyber threat from these different adversaries that are all working in unison, at least in principle, they're working in unison, maybe not directly in unison, but they are working in unison. So that threat against the United States, and from our perspective, just the government resources we have on it are not enough. So we have not taken it seriously. And the truth is, we need a whole of nation response to a whole of nation threat.
What does the U.S. need to do to counter all of these threats?
The U.S. needs to, at this point in time, needs to understand our enemy and their strategy first and foremost. Second thing is we have to restrict and ban all foreign influence at all levels in our country, all levels of government, and even military and military suppliers. So it's that piece of it. And we need to warn the American people and train the American people of really what's coming after them in this overall strategy of unrestricted warfare. All those things combined, and then focus on a whole of nation response, because again, we are at war. That's really what needs to take place.
Casey Fleming, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Is it getting harder for Chinese citizens to visit the U.S.? Beijing is protesting after seeing thousands of its citizens faced with strict background checks when going through the U.S. airport customs.
In the past 2 years, Chinese Communist Party officials have visited the United States for official or business visits. They have concealed their party affiliation when filling out forms and deceived U.S. immigration authorities. That includes some students who may have studied in the United States for 1 or 2 years. After they return to China, they then come back, possibly with missions to collect intelligence overseas for Beijing.
According to Chinese state-owned media, over 5,000 Chinese international students and scholars have failed to obtain U.S. visas. Some have even been deported. Media reports reveal that many of these students have connections to Beijing's military. A U.S. policy update from 2 years ago made it clear any immigrant who is a member or affiliate of the Communist Party or any other totalitarian party is inadmissible to the United States. Before the announcement, many Chinese people were interrogated over possible ties to the Chinese Communist Party when trying to enter the country through airports and waterways. Coming up on NTD, stay tuned for America's Hope with Kelly Wright. In the aftermath of Iran unleashing a barrage of missiles and drones, Israel faces more challenges to its national security. Kelly Wright speaks with Sharon Haskell of the Knesset and Yigal Karoma of Memory about how Israel could respond. Plus, family members of hostages talk about their hopes that loved ones will be returned home soon. That's tonight at 10 p.m. after China in Focus. That's all for today's China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. If you have any feedback on the show or have something you'd like to see us cover, send us an email at chinainfocusntd.com. We'd love to hear from you. For round-the-clock original news coverage, visit us at ntd.com or download our NTD app. Thanks for watching. See you tomorrow.